Stay tuned for Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, a fun, informative talk show putting a spotlight on sustainability from around the globe. Mrs. Green doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. This show is sponsored by the Fairfax Companies. The Fairfax Companies are dedicated to improving the environment through creative and innovative business practices. Fairfax is the leader in the business of sustainability. As a leader in the construction waste industry, they demonstrate that it's possible to implement sustainable business practices profitably. Fairfax's mission is to find or create markets for all waste disposal in construction and demolition landfills. They screen and sort all construction and demolition waste that passes through their gates. By sorting these materials, they make sure that as much recyclable material as possible is diverted from the landfill and nothing goes into the landfill that may be harmful to the environment. Visit their website at www.thefairfaxcompanies.com for more information. Now, stay tuned for Mrs. Green's World.
You're listening to Mrs. Green on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, broadcasting from MrsGreensWorld.com, and I am Mrs. Green. Welcome. I seem to have this magnificent obsessions about sunscreens and the overall protection measures. It's just really and truly, it has become a magnificent summer obsession of mine, so bear with me. Let's talk about what's the best sunscreen. Honestly, the best sunscreen, other than completely staying out of the sun, which is not very realistic, I know, is to wear a hat and a shirt. You could get fashionable hats. You can get really kind of cool-looking shirts, but avoiding the sun is the most important thing. You don't have to worry about chemicals that you're putting on your skin, and you don't have to worry about whether they work or not and checking that out. But let's face it, not everybody is going to do that. I mean, I have kids that are sun worshipers, and I'm like, really, kids? I'm Mrs. Green, and you're laying out getting your tan? But they do, and I make sure they have sunscreen on, even though they're grown-up kids. So there's a couple of things to remember that are helpful little hints. All good sunscreened, all top-rated sunscreens contain either zinc or titanium minerals that help cut the UVA exposure. And none of them, these are not too hard to remember, contain oxybenzone or vitamin A. Again, vitamin A is something good to eat in natural ways, but it's not good to put on your skin. So I invite you always to visit EWG.org, Environmental Working Group. If you forget what I'm saying, or if you're driving and you're listening to me on your iPhone, just remember that you can check out what type of hints and tips that you can have. And then there's a couple of common sense things. They're just common sense. They're so simple, and yet they're so important to your health. This one is so simple, and I wish someone had told me 40 years ago, even though I'm only 40. Haha. Don't get burned. It is so bad for you to get burned. Please, please, please. It's really bad, and it shows up on your skin later. Wear clothes. Again, cover up. Find shade or make it. You don't have to look unfashionable. Bring a pretty umbrella. So either find or make your shade. And if you want to get into the whole prevention thing, because ladies who are listening, it really does prematurely age your skin, and none of us want that. So if your schedule is flexible, go outdoors in the early morning or at night after the sun has gone down, and it will help you immensely. UV radiation peaks at midday when the sun is directly overhead. And another little tidbit that I learned the hard way, wear sunglasses. I didn't think it was important, but guess what? Sunglasses are essential, and they do cause cataracts, and I hate even talking about that. So you are indeed listening to Mrs. Green on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. Coming up next, Lori David, environmentalist, producer, and author of The Family Dinner, Great Ways to Connect with Your Kids in One Meal at a Time. Would you want to miss this? I don't think so.
It may be the only desert oasis in the world, complete with botanical gardens, nature trails, eclectic shops, and art galleries, and a new summer menu, and it's right near you. To Honolulu Park, come enjoy Chef Albert Hall's new summer menu additions, then enjoy a stroll through our shops, art galleries, and botanical gardens. Park admission is 2-for-1 with purchase in our charming tea room. Nurture yourself, nature yourself. To Honolulu Park. For more information, visit TohonoChiloPark.org or call 520-742-6455.
Hi, I'm Terry D. from Habitat for Humanity Tucson's Habastore. Come see us out at our new location at 935 West Grant Road. That's Grant Road and I-10. If you're looking for anything to do with your home, whether it's appliances, cabinets, doors or windows, even paint supplies, come out to 935 West Grant Road. Our donation hotline number, 520-889-7200. If you've been doing your spring cleaning, you need us to come out and pick up some of your stuff, call us up at our hotline, 520-889-7200, and come in and shop and support Habitat for Humanity Tucson.
Hi, I'm Abbott Taylor. With over 35 years creating jewelry in Tucson, no one has more experience in designing and making diamond jewelry in Tucson than Abbott Taylor Jewelers. Please come in and see some of the thousands of designs we have created, or come in and have us design something original just for you. Whether you're looking for a simple and stylish graduation gift, your engagement ring, or a breathtaking jewelry piece to celebrate an important birthday or anniversary, you can't beat our competitive diamond pricing. With 100% trade-up guaranteed, set in an Abbott Taylor jewelry design, always using earth-friendly recycled gold. Abbott Taylor Jewelers, exquisite jewelry designs and exceptional diamond deals created right here in Tucson for over 35 years. Abbott Taylor Jewelers at 6383 East Grant Road, on Facebook and on the web at atdiamonds.com. Diamond designs for everyone. Abbott Taylor Jewelers.
Hey everybody, this is Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. Welcome back. Are you ready to celebrate good times? Because I so am. And we have another great show lined up for you today. I so mean that. Before we get to Lori David, who is a guest extraordinaire, and I think I say that about all my guests, she truly is, we are going to talk to one of my local treasures, wonders, a place I like to go and hang out. We have calling in to the show, Tabitha from Sea of Green. Tabitha, can you hear me?
I can, Mrs. Green. How are you today?
I am great, and I'm so glad. You are the first. This is the first time Sea of Green has actually been live on the show. You're a huge supporter of Mrs. Green and vice versa. So for people that might not know, and why wouldn't they, tell us what Sea of Green is.
Well, first, I do want to thank you for being such a great supporter and having us. We are excited about your show and this opportunity to share with the community what we do and what we're about. Our mission at Sea of Green is to promote the education, experience, and alternative gardening methods for the sake of our health, our economy, and our planet. During our segments, we will provide Mrs. Green listeners with tips, tricks, events, specials, and other news we find may benefit the community with growing for fun, relaxation, or just trying to achieve a perfect vegetable garden. You can look for us online at www.seaofgreen.net and follow our blogs on www.handsonhydro.com, and here you will find the latest results discovered by our employees using the specialty products we carry and the best applications on how to use them.
Okay.
We are also going to be launching our Hands-On Hydro press release later this month. This leaflet is a handout we will be giving to our customer base. It's considered a hang-on-to informational guide that will answer questions we commonly get from our community. So look for our first release. It will be a simple guide this time around on starting seedlings indoors, which is a nice jump start to the season during these hard outdoor summer heat months. July 1st, we are also, we did officially on July 1st, have our second Sea of Green opening here in Tucson.
And I went over there and visited and saw everybody, and it was fun.
Nice.
And there were customers you guys didn't even do it. It was a soft opening, and the door kept opening. People found it already, and that was thrilling, really and truly.
It is. We are going to have an official grand opening this fall, but a lot of our community and customer base from downtown and, of course, being the only location in downtown Tucson, we've had people travel from all over the city to come to us. So having a new location on the east side, which is at, if I may, 7955 East Broadway Boulevard, that is Broadway and Pantano in the Tucson Marketplace. So it's a really convenient space for us.
And there's plenty of parking, which is really nice. I have to do this shout out. And it's very green. Before we finish the spot, though, I think we should tell people just a little bit on my part. Sea of Green is about hydroponic and aquaponic growing. And when you go in there, especially the one on 4th Avenue, because the one at Broadway and Pantano wasn't finished yet, I am that old that I remember Little Shop of Horrors. And I love it. You go in there and you think there are Venus flytraps all over. It's a fun atmosphere, and it's green, and there things are growing and thriving. And I have out-of-control African violets because I go to Sea of Green. I mean, they're crazy. So it's fun, and it's friendly, and I think that's important. And it's how to grow things on a very, very, with a little, you know, limited amount of water, almost no soil. And I don't think most people know that. And you are, your business is booming. It's interest like crazy. It's like Little Shop of Horrors, green gone wild.
And those are the Little Shop of Horrors references to carnivorous plants, which we have an abundance of at the 4th Avenue location. But our main focus is to really show some of these interesting hydroponic techniques. You know,
right,
you can save 40 to 70% water with hydroponic gardening.
So important. So important. Yes. So that's a huge thing.
It is. And it's exciting. It's an exciting time.
And you have places, you have, are there three stores in Phoenix?
We have five locations statewide.
Okay.
We have these two now in Tucson,
right. Yay,
downtown,
about that.
And Broadway and Pantano. We have one in Flagstaff, a brand new location, which is just in the downtown district of Flagstaff.
That's exciting.
And then we have two in, one in Phoenix and one in Tempe.
Okay, so you are growing. You are a strong, solid, locally owned business that's going crazy. I know one of your biggest clients is the University of Arizona, and how smart is that? And you are right there on 4th Avenue, and there is adequate parking. I think some people were so provincial about our habits. Like, I don't want to go down there. There's no parking. Well, there's a huge parking lot down there that is always available during the week and weekends.
There is, and
so
this large parking lot is also available right behind our store. So if you're buying large amounts of soil, or, I mean, we can really accommodate you with convenient parking and assistance with anything that you are
Right, and you just
ordering.
Pick up that big, huge garage door, that door
exactly.
That, I know. And I have to say that it's friendly people that really know what they're doing. And I will tell you this, when we did a newsletter survey about 4 months ago, and we asked readers, because I've got a very active newsletter base and people respond and they stay in touch and they let me know what they think. The number one thing they wanted to know more about, which kind of blew me away, is gardening. And the number two thing was composting. So I thought it was very,
We have all the ingredients. If you want to help along your composting, we can help you develop teas. And I really invite the novice, someone who is
the rookie, the real green rookie, to go and to, you know, I think we got cut off. It's okay. I can go with the flow. That was Jackie. And Tabitha. So Tabitha was going to tell us that they have really, really experienced staff that are there available at Sea of Green for the novice gardener, for the person that says, I don't know what the heck I'm doing and I want to get started. And they're honest. They are full of integrity. Benjamin was my contact from the beginning. I know a lot of the people down there, Justin and John. And Tabitha, what she didn't say, is the only woman that works in any of the Sea of Greens, I think, which gardening is not, it's certainly not gender specific. But when I am in there, I can tell you that 90% of the traffic are young men and older men and sometimes retired couples, but they've got quite an eclectic, diverse population. So that was Tabitha from Sea of Green. You can visit them at their website. You're listening to Mrs. Green's World, and I cannot tell you how excited I am about our guest coming up, Lori David, environmental producer, author, and we're going to talk about her book, The Family Dinner, Great Ways to Connect with Your Kids One Meal at a Time. You will want to stay here with me. You're listening to Mrs. Green's Radio Network. We will be right back. This is Mrs. Green from Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. Did you know that the TDI clean diesel engine in my Jetta from Chapman, Tucson gets 30 miles per gallon in the city and 42 on the highway? It has more power, uses less fuel, and I call it the fuel-efficient powerhouse. The 2-liter four-cylinder engine in my Jetta produces 90% less sooty emissions. For the best ownership experience possible, please visit Chapman at 22nd Street between Columbus and Swan and tell them Mrs. Green sent you.
Bugs like plants. It's just a fact of farming. But the U of A is helping farmers apply the latest research to stop pests without toxic chemicals. Turns out something as basic as working with other growers on where to place crops each year can block bug migrations, saving millions. Healthier food and a healthier bottom line? We call that a win-win. Naturally, the University of Arizona, a sustainable partner in Arizona's future.
Hi, Mrs. Green here. Did you know you can reduce your water and fertilizer use in your yards and gardens by using Back2Feed? The Back2Feed system is economical, easy to use, and extremely effective. Back2Feed introduces billions of microbes into your soil using water. You simply add water to the powder, let it sit for 24 hours, and apply with a yard feeder. It is used on farms and golf courses all over the Southwest. Give your soil organisms with Back2Feed. Visit Back2Feed.com.
Fairfax Companies is Tucson's green waste disposal solution. Contractors, landscapers, or do-it-yourselfers, come see us. We recycle almost all types of construction and landscape waste. Eastside Speedway and Prudence, Northwest I-10, Southeast Drexel and Houghton. The Fairfax Companies is the leader in the business of sustainability. We're open to the public and cost less than other landfills. Call 290-9313, 290-9313, or visit us online at thefairfaxcompanies.com.
Hi, Kathy Rankin here with Temco Air in Tucson, and I'm a huge fan of Mrs. Green. In the scheme of going green, I'm still just a little sprout, but thanks to Mrs. Green, I've learned a lot of easy and fun ways to help the environment. Okay, so I'm not willing to install chemical toilets in my house, but reusable shopping bags, I'm in. Reduce, recycle, reuse, I get it. So get your green on the easy and fun way with Mrs. Green. Did I mention fun? Check out our website at mrsgreensworld.com and tell Gina Kathy sent you.
My name is Mary Cochran, and I'm a pediatrician here in Southern Arizona. I'd like to tell you about an amazing leadership program for your daughters. I'm talking about Girl Scouts. Girl Scouts is everything you could wish for your daughters and more. Girls learn important life skills, explore the environment, take action in the community through service projects, and make lasting friendships, all while developing essential leadership skills. I encourage you to visit GirlScoutsSouthernArizona.org to find the perfect fit for your daughter.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. Love that concept. We want people to just think, and we don't want to start preaching and telling you what to think. And that is a great concept for a radio network and a radio show. So here I am, Mrs. Green. We have a live show today, and we're interviewing Lori David. And it was very interesting for me to do the research, which I always do on every one of my guests. And Lori, thank you so much for being on the show today. And I think there's going to be a lot of information that our listeners are going to be excited about. You're labeled as an environmentalist, a producer, an author. I would add mother extraordinaire, because I did watch a lot of the things that you always weave in, the wonderfulness of being a mom with your two daughters, and I happen to have three. So thanks for being on Mrs. Green's show today. And what we're going to talk about the most, though, is the family dinner. Great ways to connect with your kids one meal at a time. And I think it's going to knock people's organic socks off when you start sharing all that you have to share about this great book. So let me take a breath
so you
could say hi.
Yeah, let me say hello to you. Thank you so much for having me on. I actually have dragged myself out of my veggie garden to do this interview. I am so absorbed in what's growing out there and so inspired that, and I do talk about that. There's a chapter in the book how everybody has to start growing their own stuff, because you will just be amazed with a very small amount of space. You can be eating fresh salad for a month. I mean, really, it doesn't take, if you have an old boot laying around your house, you can grow something in it, I swear.
I might take you up on that. I know.
Well, I'm not kidding. And so we're picking, you know, kale, fresh kale and carrots, and the blueberries here are about to turn blue. And
where are you? Tell us where you are.
I'm in Martha's Vineyard. So
we've got
a lot of stuff ready to go. We're in the full swing, and things that aren't growing on my farm, I go over to friends' farms and pick over there. It's just very, I'm so inspired by watching food grow. And of course, when you grow a little bit yourself, you respect it more. You treat it better. You don't waste as much. So it's really, you know, it's one of the most environmental things anybody can do, is just to grow a little something yourself, even if it's your herbs on your windowsill.
I know,
right. That would be a phenomenal thing to do.
Whether you're in New York City or in a high rise in L.A., it doesn't matter.
Right.
You can do a little bit. I've had some people on the show that talk about vertical growing and all of this hydroponic growing. It's
right.
Cutting edge. And the thing that I love is that the country is alive. It's one of the fastest growing hobbies in the country, gardening and growing your own.
Is that true?
Absolutely true. Absolutely true.
Well, that gives me hope then, because I really believe that every single issue crosses the dinner plate. And we really have to get reconnected to how things grow
and it
tastes
better.
Like, and what seasonal
it tastes better, right.
Yeah, of course, all these things. So I'm excited to hear that gardening is where it's growing. That's a wonderful thing.
It is. And before you called in, there's a local place here called the Sea of Green, and it is so alive when you go in there. I can barely get to talk to the owners or the managers because the traffic is nonstop. And to me, that's just, it's a little tiny shop. They've just opened mm-hmm. another one. They have five throughout the state, but it feels like the real Twitter, not the Twitter that we all do.
Well, this is a big issue, and it comes down to this. If you are eating out, you do not know what you're eating.
That
the only way you really know what you're eating or feeding your kids is if you make it yourself.
Right.
If you eat out, you know you're getting more salt. You know you're getting more sugar and more fat. The only way you really know what you're consuming is if you're buying the ingredients or growing the ingredients and cooking yourself. So I'm hoping that along with this garden craze, we have, you know, we get back to some basics, which is, you know, cooking food at home, sitting down and talking to each other. And that's why I wrote the book, The Family Dinner, because I had an epiphany sitting at my kitchen table. It was an ordinary school night, and both of my daughters are now teenagers. And I looked up. Dessert was over. The chocolate chip cookie crumbs were still on the table. I looked
up,
and there they both were. They were still at the table, and they were talking to me. And I said, oh, my gosh, I have done something right as a parent, and that is to insist on this ritual of family dinner. And now that my kids are older, I am reaping the benefits big time.
You know,
and so I wanted to share with everybody all the tricks and tips that I had learned over the years to get everyone to the table and keep them there, and that's what this book's about.
And I think that I've been interviewing people for 3.5 years, and the emotional part of this for me was the reflection of the same things I said to you. I have three girls, and what happened at our dinner table when I was a little girl. And I read about your story. Well, my story was, it's where I learned so much, and we did have that ritual. Of course, we did not have the conflicting iPhones, iPad. When I was little, we had like a dial phone, okay? But the challenges that we face, and to me, I likened it in a conversation with a girlfriend to Mrs. Green's journey. What you you did with this book, after all of the things you have accomplished to make a difference for preservation of the planet, to me is what I call you've gone upstream. Because where it really starts is at the dining room table. I'm from New Jersey. We did not stop pollution in the Hudson River by picking pieces of garbage out of the river. We went upstream to find out where the sources were. And to me, the heart of what you've done is get to where we have to look at beginning the change we want to see in the world. And for me, it was a journey back of thinking of my mom and dad and my brothers and sisters, then our family. And now we have grandchildren. So it's the family dinner is a sacred, sacred time. And I want to get into some details because you make good points. Life gets busy. You get teenagers. There's resistance. But you have made, in some of your interviews, who's in charge here? And I say that in the most wonderful way. There's a responsibility with being a parent. And I remember on one of your interviews, someone said, yeah, well, my six-year-old says she doesn't want to sit down at the dining room table. And I was like, what? Really? She's six? It's like,
right.
No.
Well, she doesn't. It's not. She doesn't get to make that decision.
Absolutely
but
not.
I mean, you've crossed. There's so many issues that you've brought up. First of all, I have to say, you know, there's been a ton of research on this issue, and the benefits. Basically, everything a parent worries about can be improved by this simple act.
I cannot agree with
you more. Having dinner together.
Totally
agree. And
that's
everything. Drugs and alcohol and promiscuity and nutrition issues and self-esteem and resilience. All these things are improved.
It all comes out. Yes. Yes.
Right?
I could not agree with you more.
There's so much else that our kids learn at the table. I mean, listen, they learn how to listen. They learn how to communicate. They learn how to debate. They learn your values and what your morals are. They learn vocabulary. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And if we stop having dinner together, yes, where are they going to learn all these things? They're not going to learn it texting each other.
No, they're not.
I mean, they learn it
isolated
at the dinner table.
Right, right. And I remember...
And I want to just toss one more thing out, which is that the Emory University studied this, and they wanted to figure out, well, what is so powerful about the dinner table? Why does it do this magic? And they figured out one of the reasons, and here it is, that the dinner table is the number one place where we pass on family history to our kids. And when we stop having dinner together, we stop telling those stories. And it's the kids' knowledge of where grandma and grandpa came from, what they went through, what mom and dad's first jobs were, that builds resilience.
My 35-year background is in the mental health arena, and I will tell you what, the research you're quoting supports everything I believe. Just sit down as a family, and so many other challenges will never occur. I mean, it's like prevention in its ultimate form. And one of the things I want to make sure we hit on and touch on that you've really articulated in your book is the importance of it's fun. It's not just like, it's not this onerous, oh my God, we have to go to dinner. You can make it fun. And when you include, like, we have a lot of dinners with my brother and his wife and their family, and we have played some of those games. And now when my kids, all the kids grow, they fly the nest. My kids, I have one in Buenos Aires and I have one in LA and another one in New Mexico. They can't wait for the next gatherings where we're all together and we sit at the dining room table for hours. And I dare say that starts as soon as they're born. It's like just a tradition, and there's ways to have it evolve.
And you're teaching your kids when they grow up, you know, how they're going to, behave and what they're going to do with their kids. But the thing about fun is a big piece for me, because I didn't know any of the research when I decided to commit to family dinner in my house. I did it because I was desperate for some happy family moments. I mean, it was just, life wasn't that much fun. My husband was working all the time. My kids were colicky. It was like, where are the good, happy memories? Like, what happens?
And where's the home videos? Right.
Exactly. Like, I realized I had to create them myself. And I figured everybody has to eat, so we're going to do a dinner. And, and for some people, the conversation is just as challenging to come up with as it is what to make for dinner, and which is one of the reasons why I have chapters in the book of these great, quick, verbal
conversation games for the table, things to talk about at the table, just to get things started and to loosen everybody up. And I think the other piece of this is that people have to take the pressure off of themselves of what they think dinner is. It doesn't, you know, I'm not talking every night three courses and a homemade apple pie. I'm talking, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, if that's all you can do, hopefully on whole wheat bread. Or, you know,
and organic peanut butter.
Scrambled with organic kale.
That's right. Or you can make pancakes. Right. It doesn't matter.
You can do breakfast for dinner and name your night. Say, hey, tonight's topsy-turvy night, you know, and light a candle and use glasses and, you know, serve water and put a little piece of cut fruit in the water and all of a sudden your kids are going to want to
have some fun.
Get to the fruit at the bottom. And have fun. And that's the whole point.
That's right. We're taking a quick break. You know that you want to stay here and listen to more of what Lori David has to say as she shares with us about the family dinner, great ways to connect with your kids, Mrs. Green's World. We will be right back.
I'm Karen, owner of Nurturing Nature, an eco-boutique that offers earth-friendly goods, gifts, and apparel items for all ages, from babies to grandparents. Our ethically produced products are unique and stylish. Mention that Mrs. Green sent you and receive 10% off purchases that are good for the world and good for those who mean the world to you. So join others who are finding the simple beauty that lies in nurturing nature, located in the Williams Center at Broadway and Craycroft. Call us at 520-790-5910. That's 520-790-5910.
Other grocery stores don't tell you their produce is first shipped to an out-of-state distributor before hitting the shelves. At the Food Conspiracy Co-op, we cultivate relationships with Southern Arizona farmers who deliver their fresh-picked fruits and vegetables to our door, ensuring freshness and a low carbon footprint. Anyone can shop at the Food Conspiracy Co-op, which is collectively owned by nearly 2,000 Tucsonans. The co-op is open from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. daily on 4th Avenue between 6th and 7th Streets. Come check us out.
Go deep underwater without getting wet. Study bugs like a real scientist. Make your shadow move in colors. These are just three reasons to visit the exciting hands-on new exhibits at the Children's Museum Tucson, the region's only museum just for kids. For 25 years, we've ignited kids' imaginations at the Children's Museum Tucson. That's something to celebrate. And admission is only $2 on the first Sunday and on the 25th of each month this whole year. Children's Museum Tucson, where imagination and learning connect.
Mrs. Green here for Back to Feed. Are your carrots the size of Q-tips? Are your string beans all strung out? Have the petals fallen off the rose? Does your lawn yawn? Sounds like you could use some organisms. 100% natural Back to Feed provides billions of organisms that improve the organic composition of your soil. And it gets even better. You'll even use less water and fertilizer. Give your lawn and garden what it needs. Back to Feed. Find us at backtofeed.com.
I'm Holly with Garment Graphics and Promotional Products. We're excited that Garment Graphics prints apparel with water-based ink, so it's earth-friendly and has a super soft feel. Most t-shirts now, including organic cotton, are lighter weight fabric, and the feel of the water-based ink is something that people really like and want to wear. A big part of successful promotions is having your item or message stick around. Call us at 520-544-0529 or check us out at garmentgraphics.net.
My name is Barry Herr, a realtor with a green designation, a longtime listener, and advocate of Mrs. Green. One of the best things is the way she presents information about living green in an easy-to-use way. Having been involved in recycling and the environmental movement for the last 20 years, I've seen that the hardest part is for people to know what to do. Mrs. G breaks it down into bits we can all follow. Continue to join me in learning from Mrs. Green on her radio show. If you're coming to Tucson, let me help you find your piece of our green heaven.
Welcome back, everybody. And you have got to know, I love that bumper music. The boys are back in town, but the women are here now. So stand up, take note. We have an outstanding woman on the show today. You know, I say the most wonderful thing about all my guests. I haven't ever had a guest I didn't like. Lori David is an environmentalist. She's a producer and author. And one of the most intriguing things to me is that what Lori wanted to talk about today gets to the heart of the matter for the world. It's about the family dinner and great ways to connect with your kids one meal at a time. I am over the top excited because it resonates deep within me about what matters to me, which is family and time spent and laughter and love. And yes, debates. We've had screaming, yelling debates at our table. The Democrats versus the Republicans or whatever it is, we've had them at our dinner table, trust me. And we're all still one big, happy, dysfunctional family. And I'm proud of that. So, Lori.
Well, exactly. I mean, that the fact that your memories of that are so strong, just goes to show it. But I have to say that, you know, when I look back on the young years with my kids, I mean, my favorite memories are not from holidays or vacations. It's
exactly
from meal
right.
After meal,
yes.
After meal.
Yes, it's those
moments. And
those
if you've had a good debate at dinner, you know you've had a good dinner.
Oof, yeah.
And on that note, on every Friday on the Huffington Post, the editors and I post a synopsis of a great news story from the week with questions for the table. And it's free. It's on the Huffington Post every Friday by 5:00, and you can subscribe to it and have it automatically come to your computer. And
I am
a
regular, believe me.
Discussion.
I am such a fan of the Huffington Post. It's one of my great sources for information. So
it is great. So I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
Well, I want to know. So I really understand the whole message of the book. I want to know at what point did you decide to take all of this great infinite realm of information and put it in a book, because I promise you, I'm going to get this book for people on my team. I'm going to get it for girlfriends and family members because it is that good. At what point did you say, you know what, this is great, but I gotta write a book. I gotta get all of these people together and put it down somewhere. It's to me like something I'll want to pass on. I want to get each one of my daughters the book. You know what I mean?
Well, I kind of wanted it for my own kids. So I mean, that was one reason. But basically, you know, at the core of every advocate is this searing desire and actually this urge to share information. You cannot connect the dots yourself and be an advocate and not share it with other people. You just feel compelled to do it. And I've had, you know, I'm very lucky, and I've had lots of resources, and I've had lots of people help me, and I just felt compelled to share it with other people because I know that this book will help people get to where they need to.
It'll
in
help
terms of
heal
having
the planet.
Happy, fun,
yes,
festive family dinners. And the book is full of amazing recipes. Wait until you start cooking from this book. I guarantee you, and that's another big concept of the book. Don't cook for your kids, okay? I think that's a mistake people make. Cook for your family and your kids will come. And they'll learn how to eat all kinds of great foods, not because it's good for them, but because it's delicious. And I'm a big advocate in leftovers and one pot cooking and making, you know, having soup and salad be dinner, and getting protein from all kinds of places and having a meatless Monday. And I have a chapter about that, sort of laying out the case for a family dinner discussion about why everybody should be eating a little less meat. And all kinds of great recipes to fill in the blanks on various days. So I just felt compelled to share it with people, and the response has been, you know, overwhelming, and we're getting all kinds of emails from people telling us that it's changed their lives, and so that's incredibly satisfying for me.
Well, it's the inspiration to me, and a couple of disclosures, which I would be less than honest to not disclose. One is, I've got great friends. One of my friends, Amy Sue, she is a raw foodie. And I will tell you, like 2 years ago, I would have looked at her and said, really, Amy, good luck with that. Well, she has made me try things. I never ate kale in my life. I was the problem child in our family with green vegetables. And
but
so,
I think kale's relatively new. I mean, kale is not
good.
Something you grew up with,
no,
probably.
No, I didn't. My mother never, ever put kale on the table. But
Mine
up, ooh, it was like, no. But I mean, baked kale chips with all kinds of seasoning on them. And she doesn't bake them. She does the, you know, in the hydrator. So that's one thing. And then the disclosure, which I think you will love this story, and it might like even be in your next book. So I'm Mrs. Green, right? And when my kids come home, they call ahead, believe me, and they ask for certain food things. And I don't cook. So I've got to tell you this, but my husband
does.
Okay. He's Mr. Green. My husband loves to cook. So when my daughter went away to school, when she was coming back, you know, we're both on the extension, and she said, well, there's some things I'd really love to have to eat. That's what I miss. Here you go. The whole value that you articulate in the book, she wanted to come home and eat with us. And
right.
she mentioned all these things, and I said to her, so, Em, what is it you would want me to make? And she says, Mom, remind me again of what it is that you make. So I want to tell everybody that you can still
now,
have...
Now, how did that make you... How did you feel about that?
I cracked up because it's okay with me. I mean, why would I cook when my husband is such a good cook? And
right.
we prepare things together. We have, like,
right.
the natural order of things that are kind of reverse. I set the table...
Right.
You know, I make yep. it look pretty. If there's a family dinner, I make arrangements. And I, so it's like, we're a good team.
That's an important role.
And he's a really good cook.
I don't think it matters who's cooking.
I don't think
it matters what you're eating.
I think.
And what, you know,
yes.
what the quality of the food is you're eating.
And, yes.
And we, of course, you know, we talk a lot about organic. I mean, if there's, you know, one really important thing is to try to eat as much organic food as possible.
I totally agree. And I think we cannot gloss over your Meatless Mondays thing. There's the impact that being carnivores and big beef eaters has on the planet. And then I had another epiphany in this journey of Mrs. Green. There's a whole thing that now our family adheres to very, very consciously, and that's cruelty-free. I mean, we got to wake up about how we're killing them, how we're raising them. And for us, we go to the farmer's market. There are local grocery stores that have cruelty-free, you know, antibiotic-free, grass-fed, not grain-fed. So I think that that's important. And eating less meat is where it starts.
Okay. Everything you just mentioned is unbelievably important. First of all, it is completely and totally unsustainable the way we are eating.
I hope people are listening to you.
And it's unhealthy on top of it.
I agree.
We can't. The planet can't sustain it. Our bodies can't sustain it. We have an obesity epidemic in this country. We have a diabetes epidemic in this country. And it's going to explode even further. And a big piece of this is the amount of meat we're eating. And it's a myth that this is the only way we get our proteins. And we have doctors out there who have never been trained in nutrition who say, well, your iron's low, you have to eat more meat. Like, this is what doctors are advising. They don't even know. I have to recommend this film, Forks Over Knives, which I think is phenomenal.
Somebody sent me a text. I can't wait to go see it. I've watched
the
trailers.
No, it's a must-see.
I can't wait.
Take someone you love with you.
Okay? I will.
Because this film really should be a must-see for everybody. But it's just, you know, and then, you know, there's the whole issue of antibiotics in our meat, which is insane, that we're using 80% of all the antibiotics our doctors come up with are going to animals. And 70% of those animals are healthy.
I know.
If your daughter gets an ear infection and you go to the hospital, there's going to come a time when that antibiotic isn't going to help her. Now, this is unacceptable.
And that's happening already. I mean, the strains are more, they're more, I call them violent. It's not really what it is, but they're much more resistant. And you didn't even, I mean, I know you know all about this, but touching on the whole thing, I say, okay, we're drinking the Kool-Aid. It's genetically modified, it's white sugar, it's partially hydrogenated soybean oil, and the list goes on. When you're eating all that overpackaged, overpreserved food, it's
right.
I know that analogy is kind of sick, but it's like we're just drinking the Kool-Aid. And
well, here's
school
the thing,
lunches
it's all very overwhelming. It's overwhelming to me. Okay, and I'm sure it's overwhelming to you, but let's just go back to Meatless Monday idea for a second. The reason why the factory farming is happening and the reason why antibiotics are being used on healthy animals is to make the animals grow bigger, faster, to keep up with the demand. In our grandparents' day, they had meat once a week, and it was a treat.
Right.
We're eating it
right.
three times a day. We're eating it three times a day. This is crazy, okay? So if we want to preserve our antibiotics, if we want to preserve the planet, if we want to help stop global warming, look, this is something so simple everyone can do today.
And if we want to be healthier, if you want to make it selfish.
So there's no, exactly. So here we go. It's like, this doesn't have to be overwhelming. This is simple. You can make a family decision to start reducing the amount of meat you're eating. And you can get your protein from beans and lentils and quinoa
and brown rice.
Right.
There's so many good things. And it's getting...
So I say, don't be overwhelmed. Just make a couple of really good choices. And the other great thing about, you know, focusing in on family dinner and your kitchen is that the kitchen is the greenest room in your house to teach and practice those values and to pass them on to your kids. And we have to. This next generation of kids have to be greener than we are. And the irony is that so much of this is really going back to simplicity, to simpler times. You know, in the 30s, all food was organic. It wasn't like this niche market.
Even in the 40s and 50s. Yes, yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, this is what we've done, and we've done it with pesticides and chemicals and fertilizers and food available all year long. I mean,
time is flying.
Lori,
we have to go to a quick break. Time is flying. We are having fun. Stay here with us, Lori David, talking about the family dinner. Is there anything more important? I don't think so. We'll be right back. Mrs. Green's World Radio Network.
Fairfax Companies is Tucson's green waste disposal solution. Contractors, landscapers, or do-it-yourselfers, come see us. We recycle almost all types of construction and landscape waste. Eastside Speedway and Prudence, Northwest I-9-I-10, Southeast Drexel and Houghton. The Fairfax Companies is the leader in the business of sustainability. We're open to the public and cost less than other landfills. Call 290-9313, 290-9313, or visit us online at thefairfaxcompanies.com.
One day, Sarah Kouse was hiking in the desert, drinking warm water out of her water bottle again. She thought, why isn't there a bottle that can keep my water cold and my coffee hot? And why can't this bottle look good in the boardroom or on a hiking trail? And so, the Swell Double Insulated Water Bottle was born. This stainless steel bottle keeps cold drinks cold 24 hours and hot drinks hot for 12. Swell bottle sales create safe water for the world's poorest people. So go to swellbottle.com to get yours. Enter the code SWELL at checkout and receive a 10% discount.
Americans don't have to worry much about clean water. But in some countries, contaminated water causes 80% of all disease. Special microscopic particles, a kind of nanotechnology, work great for cleaning water. Trouble is, making them is pretty toxic. But soon, it won't be. Thanks to U of A research on ways to produce them with something as simple as egg whites. The University of Arizona, a sustainable partner in Arizona's future.
This is Mrs. Green from Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. Did you know that the TDI clean diesel engine in my Jetta from Chapman, Tucson gets 30 miles per gallon in the city and 42 on the highway? It has more power, uses less fuel, and I call it the fuel-efficient powerhouse. The 2-liter four-cylinder engine in my Jetta produces 90% less sooty emissions. For the best ownership experience possible, please visit Chapman at 22nd Street between Columbus and Swan and tell them Mrs. Green sent you.
Hi, this is Hank Kreisick, a local certified green architect and listener to Mrs. Green's World. My family and I have chosen to live and practice a more sustainable lifestyle, from my biodiesel-powered truck to our gardens and energy efficiency home retrofits. I'm excited that there's a show like Mrs. Green's World to spread the word about what is going on in the world of sustainability. Truly, choices we make today will have lasting effects on future generations, and Mrs. Green's World does make going green more fun.
Girl Scouts offers once-in-a-lifetime opportunities and experiences for all girls. By becoming a member yourself, for only $12, you are helping to make this possible. As a member, you don't have to be a troop leader or even have a daughter in Girl Scouts. Being a member means that you want to support girls in Southern Arizona and inspire them to have courage, confidence, and character. To unleash a girl's potential and support the Girl Scout movement, visit the Community tab at GirlScoutsSOAZ.org.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And time is flying. We are having so much fun. I said off air that it felt like we were on air this last segment for about 2 minutes. Our guest is Lori David. She is an environmentalist. She is a producer. She is an author. And she has put together probably one of her greatest contributions to the planet, if you don't mind my saying so, the Family Dinner, Great Ways to Connect with Your Kids One Meal at a Time. And I will tell you, it really will knock your organic socks off. It's all about sustainability at the very, very, very core of what the world needs and of what the world is crying for, connection. So, Lori, thank you so much for being on Mrs. Green's World today. We certainly have connected, and I get very excited. I can tell you that.
You got me all worked up. You know, we started talking about antibiotics and meatless Monday. Oh. Next thing you know, I'm getting cut off for a commercial.
I know. And it's like the breaks are so annoying to me. It's like, why does this have to be? I know. So
I really appreciate the support. I just want to, as a last comment, encourage people to, you know, if you haven't been doing this, you know, start a couple of nights a week, make a couple of rules. Steadfast Rules is a great chapter about rules.
And tell us a couple of them. It's important. Tell us a couple of the rules, because I think you are spot on.
One rule is obviously no screens. Of any kind. No answering any phones. If someone does answer a phone, if the phone's at the table, you get to take it away. And believe me, your kids will not want you taking their phone, so they'll stop bringing them to the table, and you have to stop bringing them to the table. I have an important rule. You come to dinner no matter what. I mean, I'm not hungry is not a reason to not come. You don't have to eat, but you have to come and sit there. And here's another important one. Dinner is dinner and dessert. And when I say dessert, I mean a piece of fruit or a cup of tea. But what it does is it keeps people from gobbling their food down and thinking they're done. You're not done. There's a pace to dinner. There's a time allotted for it. This is sacred time. This is time for us to purposely be a family, and it's not going to be rushed. And so that's another rule. Water only at dinner from a glass.
Interesting.
Drink water from a glass. Do not serve other liquids. Unless, of course, you could have a glass of wine if you're an adult. But this is so important. My kids now, that they're older, they associate water with food. And even when they're in restaurants, they drink water with food. And this is a habit, a lifetime habit that your kids will thank you for later on. Put a piece of fruit in it, a sprig of mint, and then all of a sudden it's a lot more fun. And so those are just some of the rules that we've stuck with. And you know you're doing something right when you try to change a rule or disregard a rule and your kids bust you for it. And they will.
I know. That's really great. And I just, again, I don't want to be a drama queen. Actually, I do want to be a drama queen. But when I think about my kids, they eat so much more. They're so much healthier in some of their choices than I am. If I order a Diet Coke, my kids are all over me. I'm weaning myself. We all have vices, but they drink water with their meals. And we drank milk growing up as a kid. We drank milk, but we had a milkman, and it wasn't antibiotic laden. You know what I mean? But I rarely drink a glass of milk.
But these are things that we teach our kids meal after meal after meal after meal. Manners also. And, drinking water and taking certain size portions. These are all things we learn at the table. You're not going to learn that standing against a counter or eating in your car. It's not going to happen. And I really feel for parents in this next generation who are growing up with kids who have technology at the age of one. And let me tell you something, the stats on that are horrifying. Kids are spending somewhere like 8 hours a day on some form of electronic device.
It makes me sick. It makes me really, really sick.
And we can't do it. Our kids will not be civilized if we don't give them the basics. And the place to do it is at the table.
The lack of connection.
And if you can't do a ritual dinner, do a ritual lunch. Do a ritual breakfast. Do a before bedtime tea time where you all sit down and you connect with each other, because it is getting harder and harder to do that. And we've got to grab this back. We have to hold on for dear life the things that worked from the past. We not disregard them.
And I'm really repeating myself, but you talk about creating a sustainable planet. It starts with the family dinner. And it was like a big, huge aha, she's so got it. Now, very, I don't want us to get off the show without me telling people, you telling people where they can get the book, because that's really important. I hope everybody who's listening, everybody who listens to the podcast, I'll be putting it up on Facebook and tweeting about it. But what's the easiest way for them to get the book?
Well, the easiest way, it is carried in all the bookstores, and I love supporting local bookstores. It's carried on Amazon. It's in lots of different specialty stores. But Paper Source is carrying it. Anthropology is carrying it. But wherever you buy your books, you should be able to find it.
And I buy it at Bookman's. We have an unbelievable sponsor, and they sell used books. And almost any book, I love Nora Ephron's book about why I don't like my neck. And I think I went in there one time to Bookman's right after it was published. I bought four copies because people buy it and trade it in.
It's funny you mentioned Nora, because I interviewed her for this book. There's lots of sidebars through the whole book, and I interviewed everyone.
Does she cook?
Alva to Nora Ephron to Bobby Kennedy Jr. Yeah, they're all in the book with really Judge Judy. I have an interview with her.
Oh,
very short
God.
Sidebars with people talking about their family dinners, and Mary Batali is in the book, and Alice Waters, and all kinds of great people. I mean, my whole goal of the book is that people will use it on the counter in the kitchen to cook from, and then they're going to bring it to the table to read from. And I hope people can just, you know, flip through it and learn some great
And
things.
I can promise you it'll be in the Murphy Darling Mrs. Green lineage. I want to tell you about my grandkids. We love to have them. And this is what I think is such a validation of what you said. So we'll go and plan a day out with them. And we're going to go on a little road trip. Do you know what they say from almost the time we get in the car? When are we going to go back home? Are we going to go back home soon?
Uh-huh.
And one of the
uh-huh.
reasons is they love having us be present. My grandson, who is only six, since the time he could get up on a bench, sit him up on the counter, my granddaughter, and the same with my kids. If you engage them in the cooking process, which I did, I used to cook, and now with my grandkids, there's something magic that happens in the preparation of food and nourishing our bodies, and they love to just be home and doing that. So talk about...
Well, we talk about this in the book a lot, and in fact, a lot of the recipes have a little box at the bottom of them
that
kids can,
two
or three ideas of what kids can do for that. Even if you have your kids ripping up your herbs for a dish,
right.
They will own it, and of course, when they're involved in the process, they eat better. And that's the whole goal, is to, you know, help your kids develop their palate, expose them to new foods, and get them engaged in the process. We'll do that for sure.
They're happy if they're stirring.
We talk about that a lot in the book.
Yeah. They're happy if they're stirring. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, have them stir. I mean, I've had my daughter do, you know, two little things and then announce to the company that she made dinner, and she really felt that way. And that's good. You want them to feel
perfect.
That way.
That's perfect. Now, you have teenagers. So the challenge for us as a family became there's swimming, there's soccer, there's play practice, and we still set some limits about how many nights away and about honoring that eating together for the gathering of the food. How did you navigate that as a mom? How do you? It becomes harder.
Well, this comes down to the issues of priorities. And that's where I think families really have to take a hard look at priorities, because the truth is that the most important activity your kids can do is to sit down to dinner with you.
I agree.
So you have to decide, do they have, you know, three different sports after school? You know, in the old days, nobody had this problem because practices were after school. You got on the bus at 5:30. You came home. You were home for dinner.
Right.
And it was a consciousness that dinner was what when the family, you know,
because
ate.
Everybody did,
you know,
it.
Today,
yes,
practices
yes.
are scheduled during dinner hour.
Right.
And it's kind of outrageous, really, if you think about it. When are kids supposed to eat dinner?
I know.
And
swim meets
so
till 10 o'clock
many
at
people
night. Yep.
are eating in the car. The car is not where you should be having your meal. So, you know, you've got to plan your schedule accordingly. And, of course, you have Friday nights and Saturdays and Sundays. And, you know, you've got to figure out how to do it and not let this culture of, you know, over-scheduling impact, you know, how you're raising your family.
I know. It's really, to me, there could not be more of it. So what else, the time is flying again. What else would you like to share? A highlight from the book, the message that you want everybody to take away, other than how important the family dinner is, involving your kids. What are a couple of shout outs that you want to leave our listeners with besides ordering the book?
I'll give you just a couple of quick shouts. One is that one of the things I've learned as a parent and that I heard Dr. Wendy Mogul say once is that gratitude is a muscle and it needs to be exercised.
I love it.
And there's honestly no better place than the dinner table to get your kids understanding, you know, what went into providing this meal, including who grew the food, who shopped for it, who brought it home, who unpacked
it,
who cooked it, who's cleaning it up. So gratitude's a muscle, and the dinner table is a perfect place to
exercise
it, and we should be doing that regularly. And I have a chapter in the book about lots of ways to express gratitude, gratitude games for the table, and I think that's a really important thing to do. And I can just say, as a mother of teenage daughters now, I am so grateful that I did this ritual, and it got me through a divorce. It's a chapter about family dinner after divorce. It got us all through that, the highs and lows of life. It got my ex-husband back to the table with us. We now have regular family meals with him, which is a wonderful thing that I'm very grateful for. And it should be the core of your family life. And I hope the book will help people accomplish it.
It will help people. LoriDavid.com is Lori's website. You can always
familydinnerbook.com.
Familydinnerbook.com. You will be so happy if you visit it, when you visit it. Thank you so much for being our guest, Mrs. Green's World, on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. Make it a great green meal-filled week. We are so happy to have had this wonderful sharing on Mrs. Green's World.